Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an unbelievable treat we have today. Many hats our guest wears, but one thing, the common trait between all of them, is that he has been flying high since he started life. Glenn Gonzalez, founder and CEO of JetIt, is here today. Glenn, thank you so much for being on the Got Your Six podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I'm super excited to share with you guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. One thing I've always admired about you, Glenn, is your ability to never let go of your dreams, right? Whether it was playing D1 basketball at the Air Force Academy or remaining in the skies, you know, whether it be in the Air Force or after service, active duty service. How have you continued to go back to that tenacity? And how do you like find that internally?
Yeah, there's a number of ways I could answer that, Tony. My first thought on it is, as a man of faith, you know, I believe I'm closest to my maker, to God, when I'm doing those things that are in line with who I am, those passions, following those passions. If God is not of fear, if God is of love, then I'm closest to God when I'm doing those things that I love. So to speak to it simply, you know, I try to go after those things that I know I'm passionate about. And if I'm passionate about something, if I love it, then I've got to have it. You know, we think about it with our kids. I have two beautiful daughters. I'll do anything for those girls. And if for whatever reason something happens to them, I'll tear the earth down if I need to, because I love those girls. And it's the same for the things that I want for myself. It's the same for those visions and ideas that I'm blessed with. Got to pursue them. Got to be passionate about them. And if that passion has been instilled with inside you, you know, you got to put everything you have into it.
Couldn't agree more. One thing with passion, I think, that often gets overlooked, and you do a phenomenal job, is there's innovation, because it's not always going to look like what you want as you continue along the journey. Just like, how do you continue to find those pieces along the way that show innovation in the sense of, all right, hey, this might not be working. We need to kind of add this or take this away from it.
You know, look, this is the Got Your Six podcast, right? So, you know, the military teaches you to find a way. You know, I mean, innovation is nothing more than I've got an idea, I've got a solution, I got to find a way to make it happen. In years past, I mean, the old mantra, take the hill. Well, taking the hill and everybody being slaughtered isn't necessarily the smartest way to get it done, but you still got to take the hill. If it takes everybody being slaughtered, then maybe that's what you got to do. But our country won't send us in to take the hill for everyone just to be slaughtered. So that said, when you have that idea, when you want to innovate, when you want to solve a problem, you got to do whatever's necessary to find that solution. And that's where then the innovation, the creativity, the ideas to, you know, how can I do this differently to get what I want out of it, but mitigate the risk, to eliminate the losses, to maximize the gains. And so it's that creativity. It's the understanding of the geography, the territory, the enemy, the competitors, you know, the tools and assets and resources available to you. You know, it's putting all of those things in a box, in a bucket, and throwing them out on the table, and let's figure it all out. I think the best scenario is the Apollo 13, where in the movie, you know, they've got, what do they have available to them? And they throw this box of stuff. You know, this is what we've got to work with. How do we solve this problem and get our boys home?
You talked about the adversity in there, and I think you call it positive friction.
Yeah, I do a lot of reading. I want to say I picked that up in a Harvard Business School case study somewhere, in the value added for positive friction. But you know, there's the fog of war and the friction of war that you can always expect it to be there. And it's not bad, though, to have friction. It's just you don't want that friction to slow you down. You don't want that friction to, you know, negate you from accomplishing what you're after. the difference between, you know, just general friction and positive friction is, you know, sometimes positive friction is there to help you think about things a little bit differently. It, slowing you down may not be a bad thing. Having mistakes made may not be a bad thing. You want those people in your organization that are querying and questioning and challenging ideas. You know, we talk about it at JETIT that we want those courageous people that are going to raise their hand and say, I have an idea. But we also want those people to raise their hand and say, I don't think this is the right direction to go. Either way, it takes the same amount of effort, the same amount of energy to champion an idea forward that it does to champion any idea down. And for that reason, you need that positive friction.
And you also talked about the diversity on a team, which is so incredibly important. How do you continue to make sure you not only allow those dissenters to be heard, but reinforce their ideas? Because you could ultimately be going down, we'll say a pun, right? Like on a nosedive, and you have to pull up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the key to it is you've got to have a culture that people feel that they can step up in and they can speak up. And the way to give them that feeling is by making sure that when someone does speak up, when someone does step up, that you respond in kind. That doesn't mean you have to do everything that that person says or someone on the team says, but as a minimum, you have to come back to them and say, hey, we heard you. We understand what you're saying. We just can't do it at this time. Or that's not the best decision for our organization because. Or, you know what? That's a great idea. You've got these three people, make it so. Whatever it is that you need to do, giving people a voice is just the start. You've got to continue beyond that voice with some action behind it. Very much how you came about this podcast.
And that's what it goes to, is that psychological safety, which is so, I think it's taken for granted to an extent, because you just think it's always there until it's not. And by the time you realize it's not, then you have to go back and do so much work. How do you continue to reinforce psychological safety other than allowing people to be heard at JETIT?
Yeah, I think it's making sure that everyone on the team knows that everyone else on the team has something of value to provide. You have to respect and accept and embrace everyone on the team. And we spend a lot of time on the first days of your time at JETIT talking about who we are as an organization, what our values are as an organization, integrity, hard work, respect, it being one of those values, professionalism, sound decision making. So we start out on the same page, but you know that's when you've already started at JETIT. We actually back that up to the interview process where we're listening for those character traits that are critically important or we believe are critically important to be a good fit for our organization. It's the same ethos that we find and recognize in any and every military environment.
So before we go any further, right, I think we have to stop and kind of dive a little bit deep into JETIT. What is JETIT? And I think the business model of it is so unique, if you want to talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so JETIT, we are a private jet business. We call ourselves a hybrid fractional. What that means is people are buying a piece of the airplane. You don't have to buy a whole airplane. And you're using the airplane at a price point similar to as if you own the entire airplane. When you're on the airplane, you're paying for it by the hour. You have a small monthly expense. And we can do that. We can offer that expense to our customers, our fractional share owners, because when they're not using the airplane, we put it into the on-demand market and whatever we can generate from that market comes back to us. Instead of a sharing economy, we kind of consider it a symbiotic economy. We, as the operator, are dependent upon the fractional share owners to buy the airplanes, and the fractional share owners are dependent upon us having access to the on-demand charter market to be able to support those customers so that we're all healthy. It's an equal balance and equilibrium between each of us, and it's working out.
And that ecosystem is so fascinating because having understanding, you have a great understanding of the business, but at face value, people would be like, that's not going to work. And knowing you a little bit, it's like, absolutely, it does. Watch me. How do you continue to kind of follow that through and iterate along the way?
It's tough. It's very tough. I mean, we've hit some strong headwinds over the last couple of years with fuel prices being what they are, airplanes for whatever reason being unavailable. It's a tough industry. But you know, we have what we call and what I've always dubbed as a 5D success spiral. There are 5Ds that are critical for your success in anything. And I'd be willing to bet that anyone can think of anything that they've accomplished and overlay these 5Ds for that success. It starts with a dream, a goal, a plan of action. From there, you've got to figure out how you get from A to B, which B being where you're trying to get to. And that's data. You've got to fill your bucket with as much knowledge as possible about the situation at hand. If I'm here and I want to get there, what don't I know? What do I need to learn in order to build that map, if you will? Then from there, you've got to be disciplined. You put together a great game plan. You need to stay focused on that game plan. You've got to be determined. The rest of the world will always tell you no, but if you trust the plan, you've done the homework. You've done all of the work necessary to be able to run that 6-minute mile, to be able to pass the test, to be able to take the hill. Now you got to trust your plan, trust your strategy, and then you've got to make sound decisions. That determination will be met by naysayers. It will be met by us sometimes telling ourselves we don't believe we can do it. But if you trust your plan, if you're determined and you're disciplined about following your plan, you make adaptations and adjustments as needed, because when you need to, you're going to have to make sound decisions. So it's the dream, the data, the discipline, determination, and decision-making. You know, those are the 5Ds that are a part of any and every success that I've had.
How do you look at scale in the sense of like being able to stay nimble throughout that growth period? Because that can always be challenging. Once you hit a certain spot, you're like, we're here, but you're looking at another mountain to climb.
Yeah. You know, scale is all about your base. It's all about the fundamentals. I can't teach you a crossover if you don't know how to dribble. I can't teach you a serve if you can't volley. So it's important to understand that foundation and that base. And in business, it's about your culture as a company. We talk about it at Jedit. We can't look back 5 years from now and look around us and not, well, who are these people? Who are we as a company, as an organization? If you're not familiar with your base, if you don't know your values, if you don't know your culture and what makes up your culture, you'll look back from five years later, a year later, maybe a couple of months later, and not recognize who you are. And you'll skip ahead to something that you're not really ready for. So when it comes to that foundation, those fundamentals, those are the most critical things that we found necessary.
How do you and the organization continue to give yourself grace to go back to the fundamentals and to that base? Because it's very easy, like we're on this glide path, we're doing great work, but we always need to constantly revisit those. How do you reinforce that inside of the organization?
Yeah, my first thought, Tony, is that life has a way of keeping you humble and reminding you that when you make mistakes, when things happen, you got to stay in touch with that base. In the military, if you're a POW, you're thinking about your food, water, shelter. Maslow's hierarchy, those are the most important things. I can't focus on the next thing of just being emotionally comfortable if I don't have any food, water, or shelter. I need to focus and start with those things. And in our business, it's operating safely, making people happy. In that order, we've got to take care of our business in the process, but we don't have a business if we don't have customers. If we don't have, if we're not operating safely, people won't fly with us. If we're not making people happy, they'll fly with us for a little while and then they'll walk on after because they've been frustrated for so long. So business life has a way of catching up with us and reminding us, come on back and let's talk about these fundamentals again.
Absolutely. It's that reinforcement, like you were talking about, of those keystone habits throughout everything that you do. Because you as the leader might feel, I've said this 30 million times, but that reinforcement is what allows people to like continue to be like, yes, I'm part of this thing. Otherwise, you're just saying a lot of different things and nobody has like a clear focus.
Yeah. Grace is about forgiveness. It's about accepting the fact that you're going to learn, you're going to make mistakes, and you embrace those mistakes. There's a book called The Art of Possibility by Benjamin and Rosamund Zander. And in it, there's a chapter where they talk about making mistakes, and the response to a mistake is how fascinating. It's not, oh my gosh, I'm so disappointed that I made a mistake. It's how fascinating, because, man, I just learned something new. This is fascinating that I had the opportunity to make this mistake that I'll never make again. That's different from, you know, that to me is grace. That's giving yourself grace. That's giving the people around you grace to make sure that, hey, we made a mistake here. Did we learn from it or not? Let's debrief it, just like we would flying fighters. Hopefully it doesn't take a day and a half debrief like a 30-minute mission that I might have flown then. But let's give one another that space to make mistakes, to understand we can make mistakes. Let's stay true to our values, stay true to our core, and focus on our priorities. And if we make mistakes within that, let's just make sure we don't do it again.
Right. And like you said, that debrief is so critical. And you've seen it from a lot of different sides, not only as a T-38 flight instructor, but also as an F-15 fighter pilot, right? So you've kind of been on almost every angle of it. How has the debriefs changed for you over the years? Or it's become more critical to do those over and over again?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, debrief, it's watching your own game film, you know. So as a high schooler, you know, as a little schooler, hey guys, great game, everyone. Very proud of you guys. We got to just make those layups. You get to high school, then it's, you know, you're watching your own tape to say, I didn't dribble that well. When you get to college, it's watching the other team's tapes. It's watching your tapes. And then it's going and drilling on those things that you messed up. When it comes to teaching someone to fly an airplane, you know, it's taking notes in the middle of the flight and seeing and recognizing the mistakes and feeding that information. But at each level, it gets more intense. It gets more refined, and it gets more defined as well. You know, in flying fighters, it was about finding the root cause. What was the real issue here? The importance of that debrief also grows at the college game versus the little league game, at the fighter pilot debrief versus the instructor pilot T-38 training debrief. Because the risk of things going wrong, the responsibility of learning from that debrief is so much greater. And so that fighter pilot has to make sure that they understand what that root cause of that issue was, that mistake that day, so that they don't do it again, because lives are on the line. Lives aren't necessarily on the line when you're flying a trainer, but when you're defending the nation, you're out there boots on the ground, or you're out there in your submarine, everyone's dependent upon you to do your part. The entire nation's dependent upon it. So that debrief becomes critically important.
1,000% agree. And you've talked about this, is understanding as an organization continues to get bigger, with you also have to make sure you're not being allergic to bureaucracy, right? And balancing that back and forth. How have you continued to do that inside of JetIn?
Yeah, you know, we talk about that as one of our, I feel like I'm allergic to it, bureaucracy. I think by making sure that everyone understands what our values as a company are, when you know what your values are, your decisions are easy. You follow that up with your priorities. Okay, we are all on the same page as to what we value as a company, as an organization. So now that we know that, what are our priorities? And then it's, well, what's my responsibility within these priorities? And making sure we're clear about, this is your role. This is what we as a company need from you. This is how we as a company will succeed. And then holding everyone accountable is the last step in that process.
And holding not only everyone accountable, but also yourself, because that takes time and experience, because along the way, as we all grow and learn, there's been times where we've had a disconnect between those, and there's been setbacks that have come. Is there a particular setback or failure that you look to and you're like, it's because of this I've had so much success in other areas?
Yeah. How fascinating is my response to that. I don't view them as failures. They have been fascinating learning opportunities. Everyone else might view it as a failure. We lost a lot of basketball games. But I learned a whole lot about resilience and patience and effort and You know, even when you're down, you keep fighting. So I don't know if there's a specific failure, if you will, or learning opportunity that I went through. I've had so many different experiences where it didn't turn out the way that I wanted. But what I've learned from that is I just have to find another way. It didn't work out that way. When I was trying to earn a sales opportunity at Gulfstream, probably the hardest place in the world to get a sales job, it didn't happen as in a timely manner. So I found another way. And here we are today. So, you know, it's purely just staying focused on what you're passionate about, what you want, and going to get it.
And leveraging those opportunities for learning, right? You continue to become better than yesterday. Glenn, as we kind of wrap up, how are you better today than yesterday?
I would say I'm better today because I know more about me. And I'm always learning more about myself. I'm constantly looking inward. I'm listening to my friends when they tell me that there are ways that I can be better. It's a constant debrief, personal debrief for every situation. So the changes that have happened with me, I try to apply them. I try to be a better person every day, try to be a better father, a better friend, a better executive, a better coworker, you know, a better customer. Whatever it is that I can do to be a better me is what I'm after. And that's what I constantly strive to keep fine tuning, keep shaving and sharpening the knife.
Where can people go to learn more about JetIt and you?
Yeah, look, it's gojetit.com, gojetit.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm happy to engage with anyone and everyone. If I don't respond right away, it's not intentional. I will. So send me a note and try again a second time. Please don't solicit just business. But, you know, look, I'm happy to engage and work with people and, you know, just to be helpful at where I can.
And Glenn, we'll make sure we link the JetIt website in the show notes. Thank you so much for sharing your strategies, your methods, your tactics. And most importantly, thanks for having our six.
Thanks, Tony.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridgebuilt. I own a Phoenix squat rack, and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy-duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuilt.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. You got something out of this? Be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.